Take your Bible, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, I hope you brought your Bible with you. If you did not bring a Bible with you, there's one in the hymn rack right in front of you, and you can use it this morning. But I would like for you to open your Bible to this chapter. I have a lot of sermon and a little bit of time. So I would like to read the whole chapter to you, but that's 57 verses long, and so I better not do that. I'd read the chapter, and then we'd pray and go home. But I do want you to keep your Bible open, because I'm going to reference you back and forth to several verses. So please turn to John 11, all right? Now, I'm going to start with verse 1. We'll read verse 1 down to verse 4, and then I'll read just a couple other select verses and then the message. All right, look at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Lazarus, all right? Lazarus means God is my help. All right, God is my help. That's what Lazarus means. And you will notice here that it was Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany. And of course, you know Beth is the house of. The house of. And so Bethany means the house of affliction. All right? So Lazarus lived in the house of affliction, but God was his help. All right, keep that in mind now as we go through the message this morning. Isn't that awesome? All right, you say, boy, that's a coincidence. I know, but isn't it an amazing coincidence? Huh? Yeah. All right, look at verse 2. It was that Mary which, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. All right, so Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, brothers and sisters. And in parentheses, verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, I mean, that could have been anybody, wasn't it? Couldn't it? Huh? Because Jesus loved everyone. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. All right, now look please now go down to verse 20. Verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now look at that last part. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray that you will bless your word now to our hearts. Father, we are grateful for this day and what it represents, the resurrection of our Savior from the grave, just exactly as he said he would. On the third day, our Savior came out of that tomb, out of that grave, alive and victorious over death and sin. And so, Father, we are grateful. We are so grateful this morning. And I pray now you will bless as we take a look at this resurrection and may it stir our hearts and bless our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord Jesus knew that his crucifixion was just around the corner. Mary and her sister Martha had sent word to the Lord Jesus that their brother had been sick and was getting worse. He was seriously ill, and they were greatly concerned about his condition. So they sent for the Lord Jesus. They knew that if Jesus could just come, that Lazarus would be made whole, that everything would be fine. And in verse 4, Jesus, when the word got to him, Jesus looked at the disciples and he said to them that this sickness was for the glory of God. It was not going to be a death sentence for Lazarus. You say, but Pastor, he died. I know, but he got resurrected. Amen. All right, so don't get ahead of the story, okay? And so Jesus knew that that Lazarus was in the condition he was in. And the Lord Jesus was now going to take the opportunity that was before him to display his power and his glory, and the disciples would be strengthened and they would be encouraged because of the work that he was about to do. Now, understand this before we get too far into the story. In the previous chapter, chapter 10, the Pharisees and the priest in Judah were determined that they were going to kill the Lord Jesus. They had made up their minds that he had to go. And they were going to do whatever it took. And so that is what happens in the previous chapter. They were about to kill him. And he just went through them. And there was a reason he did that, because his hour was not yet come. There was a reason he did that, because he could not die any other way than to willingly lay down his life on Calvary's cross. He had to be crucified on the cross. You say, why, Pastor? Because that's what the Bible prophesied by his way of death. He had to go to the cross. So in the previous chapter, they tried to take his life and they used blasphemy as their reason, but he escaped. And when he did, he went over to the eastern side of the Jordan River. Now, that is today the country of Jordan. And that is where the Lord and his disciples went for refuge after they tried to kill him. But now word comes from Bethany, a town which is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And the word was that his dear friend Lazarus was sick. All right, now, question. Dare he go back to Jerusalem? Dare he go in that area? You see, those scribes and those Pharisees and those priests, they all had people watching. And so if Jesus got back in Judah, which was where Jerusalem was, then word would have gotten to them eventually for sure, and they would have come and they would have tried to kill him again. And so there was this great discussion among the disciples. If you look down at verse 7 and 8 and 9, and you'll see that there was a discussion, and the disciples said, Lord, don't go back to Judah. Whatever you do, don't go back around Jerusalem. Why, you're crazy if you do that. They'll kill you over there. So dare he go back to the place where he was so hated? And the answer to that question is this. Yes, he will go back, and he will also perform one of the greatest miracles right in front of some of those people, those very people who hated him with a passion and wanted him dead. This miracle of raising Lazarus 4 days after he had died and been buried, my, what a miracle that was. Any of you like to try that? Huh? No, because you know you can't do that. But the Lord Jesus could do that. So he told his disciples that they were going back. And it's almost like the Lord was saying to them, if you take the time when you get home to read the Lord's argument here in verse 6 and following, you will see that it's almost as if the Lord is saying, hey guys, in spite of your opposition to me going back, and instead of me listening to you, I'm going back. And the reason I'm going back is because I'm the Lord Jesus. All right? No man takes my life from me. I will willingly lay it down, and if I lay it down, I'll take it up again. So he knew exactly what he was doing. Now, his coming to Bethany with a resurrection and life parallels with the Lord Jesus coming into the world. I want to show you Jesus coming back to Bethany and then make a parallel to the Lord Jesus coming to this world for the salvation of our souls. All right, there is a picture here of four basic aspects of salvation. So let's look at these this morning. First of all, what I see here, number one, is the humiliation of Christ. The humiliation of Christ. You see, folks, Jesus did not have to come to Bethany. He did not have to come to Bethany. The disciples were right. There were people there who wanted him dead. He did not have to come. You read the account and you will see that Mary and Martha did not ask him to come. That's pretty important to the story, I think. You say, well, they sent word to him. Yes, but they didn't ask him to come. They just said, somebody go tell Jesus that our brother Lazarus is sick. And so they simply wanted the Lord to know that Lazarus was sick. Jesus could have said, well, you know, he's sick and he's dying and there's nothing I can do. If I go near Jerusalem, well, I might not survive myself. If I go back over that way, I may not make it out of there alive. But we see that he came. All right? He came to Bethany. Now, I'm going to say something to you here. Listen, he humbled himself and he came because it was not about him. It was about his glory and his Father and letting everybody know who he was. That's what it was about. He humbled himself and he came. He didn't come because he was fearful of his life. No, he came because he was needed. Do you see that? He came back to Bethany because he was needed. And he didn't come, he didn't have to come from heaven to this earth either, but he did. You know why he came? Because he is needed. That's why he came. You see, we all are sinners before God, and all of us need a Savior. And so that is why he came. He went to Bethany because they needed him. You see, Lazarus was sick, and Jesus knew that Lazarus physically was going to die, and the only way for Lazarus to be restored to life was if the resurrection and the life went to him and raised him up. Isn't that awesome? Now, folks, I don't know how else to tell you other than just to say that that he left the splendor and glory and majesty of heaven and came to this earth and was born in not a palace. You would think that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would be birthed in a palace, but no. No, he was not born in a hospital, folks. Think about that. They didn't have hospitals back then. He did not go to the Mary did not go to the finest gynecologist to have her baby delivered. No, he was born in a stable. He grew up not in a mansion. He grew up not in a palace, but in a carpenter's shop. Everything about our Savior showed humility at every step of the way. Let me remind you that Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8 that the Lord made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That is his incarnation right there. He was born into this world as a man, as a human, but he was God in the flesh. And the Bible then says, Paul said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So Jesus came. Why? Because we need him. That's why. And folks, think about it. Lazarus, he couldn't help himself. He died. He couldn't help himself. No, nobody else could help him either. Don't you think those two loving sisters did everything in their power to help their brother? But you see, we need more help than what any of us can give ourselves. We need a Savior. And that's why God in the flesh humbled himself and came down to this earth and was born in such a lowly fashion so that he could be our Redeemer. Why'd he come? He's needed. You see, I can't save you. You know, if I could save you, folks, here's what I'd do. I'd just start over here, and I'd say, okay, you're saved, and 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 you're saved. And I'd just go all the way around the building. Then I'd go outside and stand down here by 140, try to keep from getting run over, but I would go, you're saved, and all everybody in your car, but I can't save you. I don't have it within me to do that. Oh, by the way, this church can't save you either. You know what this church is? It's concrete, block, brick, and steel. That's what it is. That's what it is. You say, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope I would. Wait a minute. What? Yeah, I hope I'd go. Well, here's the good part, folks. You can know that you're going. You see, you can know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You say, well, you know, I go to church. Well, whoop-dee-doo. You know? Big deal. So what? A lot of folks go to church. Let me ask you a question. If you were to go home and sit in your garage, would that make you a car? Think about it. Would that make you a car? Your neighbor walks by and says, what are you doing? You say, oh, I'm a car. your neighbor is going to call the psych ward on you. That's what's going to happen. Little guys in white suits are going to visit your house. No, and going to church doesn't make you a Christian either. You see, Lazarus couldn't help himself. So that's why Jesus came to him. He was needed. Lazarus had a need. And my dear friend, you and I have a need as well. It's called a Redeemer. Now, again, let me take you back. Let me take you back to verse 26. Do you see down at the bottom of verse 26? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? You see, Jesus didn't have to go, but he did, because there was a need. And he didn't have to come to this earth, but he did, because there's a need. Second thing, I got to hurry. Second thing, I want you to notice, not only do we see a humiliation, but we also see a revelation. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, look, he not only came to Bethany, but he spoke. He spoke. He talked with Martha and with Mary. He spoke with them. Plain and simply, he gave direct revelation from God to them. He gave them his word. Now, in verse 20 through verse 27, we have the discussion that went on between Martha and Jesus. Martha and Jesus. Now, notice, folks, that Martha demonstrated half faith and half grief in her exchange. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In other words, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give him. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. All right, now this is the discussion, folks, and I want you to pay real close attention to this. You see, Martha knew who Jesus was. She absolutely knew that he was the Messiah sent from God. And so she says, basically, Lord, if you were here before he had died, you could have done something. That's what she's saying. You could have done something. You could have helped him. But once her brother died, she thought that even Jesus couldn't do anything now to change it. Even Jesus couldn't do that. And then Martha and the Lord Jesus had a discussion in verse 23 and 24 where Martha, I think, realized, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. And so she backs up and she's going to, get the picture here. She's going to give the Lord Jesus a little theology lesson. All right? Yeah, right. Okay? Look at verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the what? Last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. You know, I am. You know what she was saying there? She says, well, you know, Lord, I have faith for tomorrow, but I don't really have faith for today. Huh? Yeah, that's what she's saying. I have faith for tomorrow, but I don't really have faith for today. And so, Jesus said, but I am the resurrection and the life. So we have the discussion, but then secondly, in verse 25 and 26, there's the declaration. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, do you know what Jesus is saying here? He is saying that that it is immaterial, Martha, whether you are talking about the past, the present, or the future. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Martha saw a resurrection in the future, but she told, but Jesus told her that time is not an issue. Time is not the problem. He looks at Martha and says, Martha, it's me. It's me. I am the resurrection and I am the life. And I can raise Lazarus right now if that's what I want to do. I am the Son of God. So that's the revelation. Now, folks, how do we apply this? Well, the message to this lost and dying world is this. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You see, apart from him, there is no life. Apart from Christ, there is no life. That's why we must be born again, born in him. How many of you were born the first time? Raise your hand. All right, some of y'all in doubt about that. No, you were all born the first time. But Jesus said, hey, guess what? You need to be born again. You see, your first birth was a physical birth. But your second birth, born again, that's a spiritual birth. And that is trusting Christ as your Savior. So that is the message to a lost and dying world. We need assurance that somebody has made a way of escape from death and from hell so that the rest of us can trust him and believe in him and follow him and can find the same victory that he got. Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord for salvation. Martha was concentrating on an event, but the Lord Jesus was focusing her on himself. Resurrection and life is not found in a church or in a creed or in a system or in a religion, but it is in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, whose resurrection we celebrate today. Amen. Number three, you got to hurry. Number three. Secondly, we have faith. Faith. Look at verse 25. All right, look at verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so basically Jesus is looking at Mary like, or Martha like this. You believe that? You believe that? Hey, imagine the tomb is sitting right here, okay? Imagine Lazarus's tomb is sitting right here. There's a stone in front of it. It's covering up the hole that is in the ground, in the rock. You see, they would go and find rocks everywhere. You ever notice when they show video over there that the Palestinians are throwing rocks? That's because they're everywhere. Okay? You got little rocks, you got big rocks. I mean, just rocks everywhere. And so what they would do is they would find a spot where the earth had sort of, you know, went away from the rock, and then they go in there and start carving it out, and they make a tomb, and that's where they buried their loved ones. And so imagine Jesus is standing there looking at that tomb. Martha is standing here looking at him. Now look at your Bible. It says in verse, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, all right, watch me now, though he were, and he probably pointed at Lazarus's grave. He said, my eyes are getting so bad. It says, I looked at that and there were three of them sitting there looking at me. I guess I have one in each focal. I don't know. All right, look at verse 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, and he probably pointed at Lazarus's tomb, yet shall he live. Even though he were dead, yet shall he live. All right, now watch. Watch. I like this part. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. All right, now watch. Though he were dead, and then whosoever liveth, are y'all alive? All right. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You say, well, we're going to physically die. Sure you are. Sure you are. The Bible's clear about that. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So, yeah, we're all physically going to die. I mean, that's a part of life. Death is a part of life. But what Jesus is basically saying there is this. Listen, there will be a group, huge group, millions upon millions of believers on the earth when Jesus comes back. And we don't have to worry about death. I hope I'm in that group, don't you? I don't want to die physically. I don't want to die. But if I do, hey, I'm going right straight to be with the Lord in heaven. I'll be laid out down here in a casket, and you guys are going to come by and look at me and go, doesn't he look good? No, he's dead. What's wrong with you? If I hear any of you say that, I'm going to come back and haunt you. I'm going to get a special dispensation to come back and haunt you. And then they'll take me out and put me in the ground somewhere. But hey, that's not me. You see, the moment death took over, my soul was in heaven. So, you say, well, how do you get there? Faith. Look at what Jesus asked her. Believest thou this? Hey, dear friend, let me ask you, do you believe that? Because that's the only way you're going to get to heaven is by believing in the one who is the resurrection and the life. All right? Now, one more thing. I want you to look over at the shortest verse in the Bible. All right, go over to verse 35. Verse 35. Do you remember, what was it, last week? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which were sent unto you. Remember that sermon last week? Was it last week? They all run together. They all run together for me, you know. Jesus, in that verse, looked over the city and wept for all the people. But right here in verse 35, he's only weeping for one. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. All right, now you see, all of you now have memorized a verse of Scripture. Jesus wept. There can be no salvation, folks, without love. And Jesus loves you. He loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. And now 2,000 years later, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus loves you. You say, well, how do you know he loves me? Because he said so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, thank God for his eternal salvation. Verse 33, we read that he groaned in his spirit. Look at this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. I'm telling you, folks, he cared. He cared. He loved this family. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It means that he was torn apart and broken with grief. But then look in verse 39. Go down to verse 39. Look at what happened. Here is his command. We saw his care, but now here's his command. And look, please, it says that Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. 4 days. His body is starting to decay, Lord. It's going to smell. Are you sure you want to do this? But verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted, watch this now, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Well, verse 44, he that was dead came forth. Woo-hoo! How many of you just got a glory bump running down the middle of your spine right there? Could you imagine being there and seeing that? And all of a sudden, here he comes. And notice he called him by name. Lazarus, come forth. Why did he call him by name? Because as the Son of God, as the glory of God, if he had just said into that tomb, into the realm of the dead, come forth, every single soul in hell would have come out. Everyone in Abraham's bosom would have come out. All the Old Testament saints, they would have all come out. But no, he only wanted one. So he called him by name, Lazarus. Oh my, what a savior. And those people standing, do you think all those people that were standing around said, how did he do that? He must have gone to David Blaine's school of illusionist. Yeah, man, what an illusionist. No. It wasn't a trick. It was truth. There's a difference between a trick and truth. And he raised him from the dead. Now, folks, listen. The bottom line is this. Going back to the 26th verse, believeth thou this? Believest thou this? How about you, dear friend? Do you believe that? Well, that's your only hope to get to heaven right there. So you better believe it. There's no other way. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around for just a moment. How many of you will say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it and there's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Would you just hold your hand up and testify to that? Say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, if anything should happen to me and I should go out into eternity, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, folks. You may put your hands down. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. That looked like just about everybody, but there were some hands that weren't raised. Now, my friend, listen, God loves you this morning. I don't know how else to explain it to you, how much He loves you. So I'll say it this way. He loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. So you wouldn't have to spend eternity in an awful place called hell. Now, if you could not raise your hand with everyone else, would you raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. So pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand up and let me pray and ask God to help you? I won't embarrass you, I promise. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody else? All right, Heavenly Father, you know our needs today, and there are folks here that need to be saved. And so I pray that you will speak to their hearts and draw them to yourself. And Father, we are indeed a people who have a need. And when Lazarus had a need, you came and met the need. So, Father, we're asking that you meet needs in hearts here today. There are folks that need your Son as their Savior. And so I pray that today will be the day of salvation. And Father, for Christians who are not serving you the way they should, I pray you'll speak to their hearts as well. And Lord, just give us an invitation where we all draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.